بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، قال الله تعالى: ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا. صدق الله العظيم. نتذكر سيد درو شريف. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. أما بعد، حضرت مولانا مفتي عاشق الهي رحمة الله عليه was one of our great ulama in the recent past, a very accomplished mufti, very pious alim, and a great author and writer who has written many books. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him that towards the latter part of his life, he settled in Medina Sharif, and he was known as the mufti of the Hanafis in the Haramain, because he had deep knowledge of Hajj and all the rules of Hajj. So Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Ali has given an article on some beneficial advisors for the Hujjaj, and we will go through some of those advisors of his. Hajj is one of the five pillars of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares in the Quran, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. And Hajj is incumbent upon the people for the sake of Allah, for him who is able to make his way to it. With regards to the performance of Hajj, there are thousands of people who carry out this injunction yearly. In fact, we will say there are millions of people. Yet, on the other hand, there are a significant number of people who either do not fulfill this duty or simply delay or postpone it. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam sounds a severe warning to the latter group. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, as for him who is not hindered by any obstacle, a tyrant king, or a severe illness from performing Hajj, and he dies without performing it, then may he die the death of a Jew if he wishes, or a Christian if he wishes. What a severe warning. Many people, due to some miserable worldly gain or commitment, fail to perform their Hajj. This negligence could result in an evil death. Allah protect, Allah save us. On the other hand, the significance and virtues of Hajj are also tremendous. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he who performs Hajj merely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he abstains from intimate discussion and sinful activities, he will return purified as the day his mother gave birth to him. This is the great reward of performing the Hajj. As for the majority of the people, the opportunity to perform Hajj presents itself once in a lifetime. However, it is truly unfortunate to note that many people proceed on this meritorious journey without having acquired the basic knowledge of the procedure, the injunctions, and the fundamentals of Hajj. It is therefore imperative upon every prospective Haji to remain in the company of an experienced alim and acquire the basic knowledge of Hajj prior to departing. By doing so, he will not only acquire the masail of Hajj, but will also be acquainted with the correct etiquette, intentions, and fervor with which he should undertake this journey. So Hajj is not only about knowing the masla, masail. There is one aspect of Hajj, but the intention, the etiquette, the fervor, these are the real things, the spirit of the Hajj, as we say. Similarly, he will become habitual of keeping his tongue moist with the zikr of Allah. He will learn the masnoon du'as, and he will proceed in this journey with a heart that is engulfed in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will assist him greatly on this auspicious journey, and he will benefit greatly from his Hajj. The journey of Hajj is a journey of love and devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Haji has to be preoccupied and engrossed in pleasing his creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, due to negligence, we observe that many Hujjaj are involved in sinning. Sometimes some Hujjaj even commit such sins which they were not habitual of prior to the journey of Hajj. Sinning should be avoided at all times. However, during the auspicious days of Hajj, a Haji should be ever more vigilant that he does not transgress any of Allah's injunctions, especially that of controlling one's gazes. All the hujjat should engage in sincere tawbah prior to setting out on this journey. During their stay in the holy places, they should endeavor to abstain from all sins. This will prove beneficial not only to themselves, but will be an encouragement to others as well. During this journey of Hajj, the Haji should also abstain from all types of futile talk and vain action. More time should be devoted to the Haram Sharif for the Ibadah, and less time should be spent in the marketplaces. During one stay in Makkah Mukarramah, one should try and complete at least 2 to 3 khatams of the Quran. Similarly, one should perform as many tawafs as possible. In Madinah Munawwara, one should attempt to complete as many khatams as possible together with the excessive recitation of Durood Sharif. In brief, instead of wasting one's time in backbiting and frequenting the shopping malls, one should remain engaged in the zikr of Allah. Much valuable time is wasted in purchasing gifts for family and friends. This does not mean that one should not take something back with him for family and friends out of love, muhabbat, to give hadiyah, etc. This is sunnah. There was a time when family and friends were contented and overjoyed with just a few sips of zamzam and a few dates which the Haji presented on his arrival. However, nowadays people do not attach value to these things. Instead, people regard the gifts that are made in Japan, China and America as valuable. Unfortunately, the Haji is more concerned during his stay in Makkah Mukarramah and Madinah Munawwara to bring gifts for his families, etc. He makes a tiresome effort to find certain brand names of watches, radios, clothing, etc. So, in this manner, they waste their valuable time in these activities. But as we say, that one must take a balanced approach in all of these things, that we take some, buy some gifts, but we don't have to go overboard and spending more of the time in these places than in the Haramain. Remember well that Hajj is a means of acquiring the pleasure of Allah and instilling taqwa within oneself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist all the hujjaj to kindle the spirit of Hajj. Also we find that, what is the spirit of Hajj? We say about the spirit of Hajj. But what is the spirit of Hajj? The spirit of Hajj is the following. The Hajj signifies separating oneself from family and abandoning one's own home and comfort for the sake of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it also signifies disgracing the shaitan and turning one's back on all idols. It is a place and occasion to unite the ummah and to renew our pledge with our Creator and to refresh our covenant with our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is of obedience. So this is the spirit of Hajj, is that a person is willing to give up, sacrifice for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the home, the comforts, the family, the environment of one's familiar environment, and go into a different environment altogether. So there is a spirit of sacrifice, and there is a spirit of giving up one's comfortable things of comfort, etc., for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As far as the spirit of ihram is concerned, the ihram signifies the discarding of glamour. You know, people like their clothing, they like to dress nicely, they like to dress well. By shedding one's clothing and putting on the simple toweling fabric or the white fabric or whatever fabric one uses for ihram, you are giving up all glamour and glory of dressing and you are adopting the absolute simplicity of the garb of the ihram. And it also signifies the wearing of the kafan, which is an indication of preparation for death. It's a statement of our unworthiness and insignificance. It symbolizes the dust of hardship and sacrifice that is required of a believer. So, putting on the ihram has got a spirit behind it. And this is the spirit of putting on the ihram, that a person becomes insignificant. His dressing is like everyone else. There's nothing, he's not wearing anything outstanding that will make him stand out from the crowd. Allah forbid the day when people are going to come with designer ihrams. Because already they got designer soaps. Some people are moving around with logos of motor cars, and is also named after certain motor cars, branding on the kurta now. It's gone that way. So if this is the state of affairs, the next thing, Allah forbid, people are going to start wearing branded ihram. May it never come to that stage. It will look very odd also. And it will look out of place too. But fashion is something that is a crazy thing. And people are prepared to do crazy things in today's crazy world. So Allah forbid the day when ihram will also have these kind of things, which is not the very objective of ihram, is to adopt that absolute simplicity. And you become insignificant in the ihram. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants and desires. That come to my house like a fakir. Come to my house like a miskin. Don't come here like a shah and like a king and like a royalty and dignitary. That is not how we go to the house of Allah. There's no dignitary and royalty there besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no greatness for anyone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we go to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a fakir, as a miskin, like a beggar. And so we have to dress like a beggar, put the beggar's dress on and the beggar's garb, and now you go. And then you sense that fakiri when we are wearing that garb. But if we want to, obviously, if we were not to dress like this when we're entering the boundaries of the haram, then everybody will be wearing all their fancy clothing and so on. So that spirit of that fakiri and that humbleness and humility will not be emanated when a person wears that garb. So therefore Allah Ta'ala made us strip down our normal clothing and put on the garb of the fakir and go as a fakir to his door. And amongst the aspects of the spirit of Hajj, for example, we have the talbiyah. The talbiyah is the anthem of the Hajj. You know, everywhere they have some anthem or slogans they are shouting. So the slogan of Hajj is the Labbaik, a proclamation of truth, triumphing over falsehood, and of guidance over deviation. It is the statement of truth echoing from the throats of people who are laden with dust in their garb of the fakiri, of the ihram. And it is translated as, O Allah, we have listened and obeyed and we have accepted and we are present today. So this is the spirit of that labbaik. Then what is the spirit of the tawaf? The tawaf represents circling around a timeless symbol and pleading for divine favor and acceptance. It signifies turning one's attention to the house of the one who is most gracious and kind, and abandoning the house of everyone besides him to beg for his mercy and kindness. So this is the significance of the tawaf. And the significance of the sa'i. The sa'i is the fulfillment of a command and an imitation of our mother Hajar, who had her reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is an emulation of the Anbiya alayhimu salam in search of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. And what is the significance of wukuf of Arafah? The significance of wukuf of Arafah is a meeting of people on the plains, which resembles the plains of Hashar, the day of judgment. And it is a combining of the weak with the strong and the rich with the poor, all equalized in one open plain, and that is the plain of Arafah. Arafah is a place where all heads are equal and where any type of supremacy is removed. And what do we find? Every other greatness is shattered and shirk is crushed. This is where truth is established and where falsehood is shattered. Here the filth of sins is removed and ignorance is wrapped in a shroud and the pits of deviation are sealed. So Arafah is what a place. This is where all the goodness a person can wish for in his life is acquired at Arafah. As far as the Rami, the pelting of the shaitan is concerned, it signifies the discarding of falsehood and the bombardment of deviation and the dispelling of evil. It is a disgrace to shaitan and it draws the pleasure of Rahman. As far as the halaq is concerned, that is the shaving of the head, it represents a good sign in the shedding of sins and cleansing oneself of one's past and discarding of past memories of evil and transgression. When we take our hair off, it is as if we're taking away all those bad memories and we're taking away all those bad actions. And it is a sign of cleansing and purification by taking the hair off. And it is also a significance and signifies humility and humbleness before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The nahar, that is the slaughtering, it is an emulation of the act of our father Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam. And it is an expression of thanksgiving to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and an act of submission before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the significance of the nahar or the slaughter. When we look at Hajj, we see one word that is an operational word as far as Hajj is concerned, and that is the operational word of taqwa. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word taqwa in the context of Hajj repeatedly. Al-Hajj wa ashhurun ma'lumat, faman farada fihinna al-Hajj, fala rafatha, wala fusuqa, wala jidala fil Hajj, wama taf'alu min khayri ya'lamuhu Allah, wa tazawwadu. فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ زَادِ التَّقْوَى وَاتَّقُونِي يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Allah uses the word taqwa extensively when describing Hajj. It is the operational word of Hajj, that is taqwa. When we study the ayats of the Quran regarding Hajj, we see how closely Hajj is linked to taqwa. Taqwa means to be ever conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a manner that we are ever obedient to Him and we fear His disobedience and displeasure. The very first lesson we learn from Hajj, as in the fast of Ramadan, is that of taqwa. Hajj is an occasion in which a person equips himself with taqwa. Taqwa is mentioned in the very first verse of Surah Al-Hajj in the Quran. And Allah Ta'ala says, and perform properly all the rites according to the ways of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Hajj and the Umrah, for the sake of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And then it ends with these words, and fear Allah much and know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is severe in punishment. Similarly, the last ayat on the discussion of Hajj also ends by mentioning taqwa. But whoever hastens to leave in 2 days, there is no sin on him. And whoever stays on, there is no sin on him if his aim is to do good. And fear Allah and know that you shall be gathered unto him. So here again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention, the word taqwa is mentioned in the beginning, the word taqwa is mentioned in the end. All those ayats that cover the laws of Hajj begin with taqwa and end off with taqwa. In the Quran, taqwa is usually mentioned after mentioning the day of Qiyamah, a warning against Jahannam or punishment. For instance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O mankind, fear your sustainer and be dutiful to him. Verily, the earthquake of the Day of Judgment is a terrible thing. This shows that taqwa is also a protection against the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the horrors of Qiyamah. Taqwa is mentioned more than 200 times in the Quran. While Allah ta'ala exhorts the believers in general to adopt taqwa, He orders the greatest of all, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to in this regard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Nabi, keep your duty to Allah and do not obey the disbelievers and the hypocrites. Addressing the believers, Allah Ta'ala says, O you have iman, keep your duty to Allah and fear Him and always speak the truth. Addressing mankind in general, Allah Ta'ala says, O mankind, be dutiful to your sustainer and fear Him, who has created you from a single person, and from him he created his wife Hawa. So we see how much of emphasis is generally in Quran and Sunnah on the importance of taqwa. More than 200 ayat speak about taqwa, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoken to the hujjaj about the importance of adopting taqwa, and that they should carry with them the provision of taqwa. We will tell the hajji, you sure you got everything properly, make sure passport, ticket and visa and all your currency and your vaccination card, and you got all your other documentation, and that you make sure you're carrying all your necessary provisions with you. So we emphasize on these things here, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizes on the importance of taqwa as the best provision to carry with us on this journey of Hajj. Therefore, do make every effort to imbue yourself with this great quality, which is also the mark of honor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the most honorable amongst you, O believers, is the person who has the most amount of taqwa and piety. During the farewell Hajj, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this was the revelation that came unto him, I have completed my favor upon you. Undoubtedly, Allah has blessed us with countless favors and bounties in the form of health, wealth, family, etc. Yet, which is the greatest bounty of them all? What is that great favor that Allah completed on his beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Which was that favor when his Nabi used to sleep on a straw mat that left its imprints on his beloved body? What was that great favor when a month or two would pass without a fire being lit to cook food in his home? What was that great favor when he had to tie stones on his belly out of hunger? What was that great favor that when he passed away, his armor was left as a guarantee with a Jew in exchange of 60 kilograms of wheat? What was that great favor which Allah speaks proudly about him having completed? Oh, it is that real gift to which no other bounty can compare, and before which everything else pales into insignificance, and that is the gift of Iman, the gift of Islam, the gift of Tawheed, the gift of Risalat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is that gift that no gift on earth can compare with this gift of Iman and Islam and Tawheed and Quran and the Risalat and all the Sha'airullah and all the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we see, alhamdulillah, these were some advices that were given regarding the aspects of Hajj and certain aspects of significance in the Hajj, and also regarding the slogan of Hajj, which we said is the Talbiyah. What is that slogan of Hajj? That slogan of Hajj is Talbiyah, and Talbiyah means to answer a call or an invitation by saying Labbaik, I am present. O Allah, I am present. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala narrates that when Ibrahim alayhi salam completed building the Baytullah, he was ordered to announce amongst the people that they should come for Hajj. Ibrahim alayhi salam said, O Allah, my voice will not reach them. He's in the desert, how his voice is going to reach everyone? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied, announce the compulsion of the Hajj and I will cause your voice to reach them. So Ibrahim alayhi salam announced, O people, Allah has made the Hajj of the Baytullah compulsory upon you. Consequently, everyone between the sky and the earth heard this announcement. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala then remarked, do you not see that people from the furthest corner of the earth are continuously responding to this call by saying, Labbaik? Commentators of the Quran mention that when Allah Ta'ala commanded Ibrahim alayhi salam to announce the compulsion of Hajj amongst the people, he stood on Mount Abu Qubais, that is where the palace is, and proclaimed, O people, your Rabb has built and has made it compulsory upon you to perform Hajj. Hence, respond to the call of your Rabb. Ibrahim alayhi salam turned his face towards the right and left and the east and west when making this announcement. Subsequently, all those in whose destiny it was to perform Hajj replied from the wombs of their mothers And from the world of the souls, Alamul Arwah, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. Now the wording of Labbaik, as we know the famous wording of Labbaik, Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik, Labbaik la sharika laka Labbaik, Innal Hamda wa Ni'mata laka wal Mulk la sharika lak. I am present, O Allah, I am present, I am present, you have no partner, I am present, verily all praises, bounties and kingdom belong to you. All praises and all bounties and all kingdom belongs to you. You have no partner. So after performing the intention of Hajj or Umrah, the Talbiyah should be read aloud thrice. Thereafter recite Durood Sharif and make any dua the heart desires. Why? Because the dua is accepted at that time. And one of the mustahab or preferred du'as to make at that time, Allahumma inni as'aluka ridaka wal jannah wa a'udhu bika min sakhatika wal nar. O Allah, I ask you your pleasure in jannah and I seek your protection from your anger and jahannam. It is an emphasized mustahab act to recite the talbiyah when conditions change. For example, in the morning, because now the night is over, so the morning came in at night. When the evening, or in the evening when the day ends and the evening starts, when standing up, when sitting down, when entering a vehicle or exiting a vehicle or entering a place or exiting a place, when meeting someone, when departing from someone upon awakening, when ascending or descending, any time a person's posture changes, one should be reading the Labbaik. One should read the Labbaik. The Labbaik should be read in the state of Ihram before obviously commencing with the rites of Hajj, etc. As per the prescribed time, one should read the Labbaik in great abundance. The Labbaik should be read excessively. It is farz to recite the Labbaik or any other zikr once after wearing the Ihram. To repeat the Talbiyah is Sunnah. And it should be repeated thrice. To recite the wording of Talbiyah as mentioned above is Sunnah. However, if any other zikr is recited, the Ihram will still be valid. But to leave out the Talbiyah wording itself deliberately is Makruh. So one should try to read the words of the Talbiyah. It is farz to read the Talbiyah when a person made the intention of the Ihram. It is first to read it or any other zikr. But to read the talbiyah itself is the objective. If a person read any other zikr, the obligation will be fulfilled, but the sunnah will not be fulfilled. To recite the talbiyah excessively is mustahab. It is masnoon to raise the voice when reciting talbiyah. However, it should not be raised so much that the reciter himself is inconvenienced or he conveniences others who are performing salah or sleeping. At that time he can read the talbiyah in a slightly lower voice. Women should not read the talbiyah so loud that strange men can hear them reading the talbiyah loudly. So they can also read slightly audibly, but not so loud that others can hear them. The talbiyah of Hajj should be recited until the time of Rami. And the Hadi should stop reciting the talbiyah when he begins the stoning on the 10th of Zulhijjah. In Umrah, the Mu'tamir should stop reading the Talbiyah when he performs, commences the Tawaf. That's the time we stop reading the Talbiyah. You'll find, strangely, people, because they don't know the Masala, or maybe they're not conscious of what they are doing, in Tawaf you see certain people are reading Talbiyah. Now obviously this is in Umrah. There are people who are reading the Talbiyah in their Tawaf. Now obviously that is not the time to be reading the Talbiyah. The Talbiyah is supposed to stop before what a person starts making the Tawaf. So therefore, one should be very conscious of these Masail. And in the Tawaf, there's no Talbiyah. We find sometimes people reading Talbiyah, wearing their ordinary clothing. They're not even in Ihram, and they're reading the Talbiyah. So this is not correct. There's a certain place and time for the recitation of the Talbiyah. Besides the conventional wording of the talbiyah, it is mustahab to read other forms of talbiyah, and the other forms of talbiyah are as follows. لبيك لبيك وسعديك والخير بيديك والرغباء إليك والعمل. O Allah, I am present to obey you. All goodness is in your control, and all beseeching is to you, and all deeds are for you. Another wording is لبيك إله الحق لبيك. I am present, O true being of worship, I am present. Also another wording of لبيك ذل معارج. I am present, O Lord of the ways of ascent. And لبيك إن العيش عيش الآخرة. I am present, O Allah, verily the real life is that of the Akhirah. And also لبيك اللهم لبيك وسعديك والخير في يديك ورغبتي إليك والعمل. I am present, O Allah, I am present to obey you. All goodness is in your control. I am present, my longing and action is for you. لبيك عدد الحصى والتراب. I am present, O Allah, according to the number of pebbles and particles of dust. لبيك حقا حقا تعبدا ورقا لبيك عدد التراب لبيك ذا المعارف لبيك إله الحق لبيك لبيك والرغباء إليك لبيك لبيك من عبد عابق لبيك. This is also a combination of many of the previous ones where a person says, I am present, O Allah, in worship and in slavery, truly I am present. I am present according to the number of dust particles. I am present, O Lord, to the number of the ways of the ascent. I am present, O true Lord. I am present, and my inclination is towards you. I am present, as a runaway slave, I am present. The Labbaik of Musa alayhi salam, Labbaik, ana abduka ladayk, Labbaik, Labbaik. I am present, O Allah. I am your servant before you. Labbaik, I am present. So this was the Labbaik of Musa alayhi salam. Labbaik, ana abduka ladayk. I am a servant in front of you. And the Labbaik of Isa alayhi salam, Labbaik, ana abduk wabnu amatik. O Allah, I am present. I am your servant. And I am the son of your slave girl. That is his mother, Hazrat Maryam. Hazrat Sahal bin Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whenever a person recites the talbiyah, then all the stones and trees and the lumps of earth towards his right and left till the end of the earth also engage in the recitation of the talbiyah. That is the virtue of the talbiyah. Everything around him, right and left and front and back, in which all directions, they hear the labbaik and they also join him and they also engage in the recitation of the talbiyah, and this will all be a witness for him on the day of Qiyamah. It is reported from Zaid bin Khalid Juhani radiallahu ta'ala anhu that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Jibreel alayhi salam came to me and said, command your companions to raise their voices when reciting talbiyah, because it is from the distinguished features of Hajj. That is what we call the sha'air of Hajj. The outstanding aspects of Hajj, of Ihram, is to read the Labbaik as loud as possible. It is reported from Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, which action in Hajj is best? And he replied, to raise the voice when reciting the talbiyah and to carry out the sacrifice of the animals, that is the dam, that is done in the Hajj. These are the two great acts of Hajj. Ayyul Hajji Afdal, which is the best of Hajj? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Ajju wa Sajju. Al-Ajju means to raise one's voice by reciting the talbiyah, and Al-Sajju is the spilling of the blood, that is by the slaughter of the animals of the Qurbani. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of the Hujjaj Hajj Maqbool Mabroor, and accept from them and those who are not going, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the means for them to go in the future, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the du'as of the Hujjaj. and accept the dua of those who will make dua on behalf of the Hujjaj, recite Durood Sharif. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa lana Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina wa lana Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Ya Rabbi salli wa sallim daiman abadan ala habibika khairil khalqi kullihimi. Rabbi ighfir warham wa anta khairur rahimin. Allahumma ighfir lana dhunubana wa israfana fi amrina wa thabbit qadamana wa ansurna ala alqawmil kafirin. Allahumma ighfir lana dhunubana wa kaffir anna sayyatina wa tawaffana ma'al abrar. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyah fi al-dunya wal-akhirah wal-fawza bil-jannati wal-najata min al-nar. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyah wal-mu'afat al-da'ima fi al-dunya wal-akhirah. Allahumma arzuq jami'a hujjaj baytillahi al-haram hajjan mabrura wa sa'yan mashkura wa dhanban maghfura wa tijarata lan tabur. Allahumma ighfir lil-hajj wa liman istaghfara lahu al-hajj. Allahumma waffiqna ووفق المسلمين لما تحب وترضى وصلى الله على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رب.